So in the early 90s, there was a TV show that came out. It started, it was a really dope show, really amazing show, and it debuted on the Fox Network 1993 all the way to 1998. It was a show that was on for 5 seasons, won many different awards, and again, as I keep saying, it was a good show. No, Sarah, it was not Friends. No shade to the Friends people here. But the show I'm talking about was better than the show Friends. Yes, yeah, you can clap for that. A show about 6 friends living in the city, and these 6 friends shared personal experiences, personal stories, professional advice, and they really just lived amongst one another in the city. The show is indeed Living Single. Living Single. I titled the sermon Living Single because that's what we're going to be talking about today. And from the show, as you can obviously can imagine and can tell, it has some really good and interesting things that I feel like that we can kind of learn from, obviously through God's word. So again, I know I feel like I'm going to get some emails about that Friends comment, but I do want to say Living Single is better, respectfully. In our sermon series on how to, I think it's important to talk to the singles because although the single life is exciting, it's awesome, it also can be challenging, if we're honest, right? It can be difficult in a lot of ways. And I want to say that single folk are included and are a part of our church family. You're not outside. You're not second class. You are a part of our church family, okay? And I feel like single people, it's not a one-size-fit-all. What do I mean? There's single college students, for instance. There's single moms. There's single dads. There's widows. There's divorcees. Like, it's very complex and nuanced when you really think about the idea of singleness. So hear me very clearly. This is not a sermon that's going to fix all the problems of singleness in the world, okay? But hopefully this morning we can be encouraged, no matter what category of singleness that you find yourself in, hopefully we can be encouraged by what God says through his word. Also, a note as well is, if you're married, this is not the sermon that you can check out on, because maybe some of you who are married, maybe you have kids that are single, and maybe this is helpful for you and for them, right? So don't check out just because it's Living Single and I'm not single, I don't need to hear this. No, there's a lot of things that apply specifically to singles, but there's some stuff that also applies broadly to the entire body of Christ. I have talked to many singles over the weeks, some here at Roosevelt, some outside of Roosevelt, some that are Christian, some that are non-Christian. And one of the common threads and themes that I've been hearing from a lot of these singles, those that have heard sermons before about singleness, is here's a couple of things that seems to be the common thread that they've heard before. One, singles need to just be satisfied in God. They need to be content. Singleness is a gift, right? And all those things are true, but I want to say that I think there's much more a robust understanding of what singleness that the Bible explains that's much more than just those things, right? And by the way, married people need to hear a word about contentment as well. It's not ultimately just for singles, per se. Okay, so again, these are some of the common things, and I know some people have been hurt, this passage and some of the passages I'm going to talk about has been used to weaponize some single people and just say, hey, you need to just stay in your place and be content, and I don't want to do that this morning, okay? But what I do want to do is give you, hopefully, by God's grace, a good understanding and good, robust teaching on this particular topic. Again, I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Singles, you are not second-class citizens. You are so much a part of our church family and the body of Christ at large. You are valued. Your opinion matters. Your perspective matters. And we want to hear that, okay? You're not second-class citizens. There are advantages and disadvantages of being single. And we'll talk a little bit about that this morning. The advantages and disadvantages are not meant to be, pointed against each other. It's just a perspective that I think that we have to understand. So I want to inspire you this morning, and I do use that word inspire very deliberately, because when you think about the word inspire, it's the ability to communicate some type of feeling. More especially, a feeling that you can be creative, right? So I want to inspire you with three encouragements in your single life that will hopefully help you. So the first encouragement is to explore yourself. Explore yourself. Now, I know that sounds kind of weird and kind of interesting if you just say explore yourself and don't give it really a context about it. But I'm going to break that down, what I mean by explore yourself. The great theologian John Calvin says, without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. Without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God. It's important for us to understand ourselves, to discover ourselves, to explore ourselves, so that, one, we can know God, but so that we can also live. Understanding who you are, understanding your identity is very crucial in the single life. Your identity matters. Now, in our culture, I'm sure many of us have been told different things about ourselves. Some things that may be true, some things that are untrue. Things like, you know, you're ugly. Things like, you're never going to amount to nothing. Things like, you're going to be nothing. Things like, you're stupid. And all these different messages and words that have been used to tear you down, to tear us down. And we need to be reprogrammed in such a way that we can have positive affirmations about who we are, about our identity, so that we can know ourselves. At our church here, you'll hear a lot that we're going to, and we're going to say this many, many different times, that first and foremost, ground level, is to understand that you are created in the image and likeness of God. Genesis 1, 26 says that very clearly. And it also says in verse 27, male and female, he created them. You might hear that and say, oh yeah, I know that already, Pastor John. But we have to constantly, over and over again, be reinforced with positive things about ourselves, because we live in a culture that beats us down. We have friends, so-called, that beat us down and say bad things about us. And it really changes the outlook of life that we really have. So I want to encourage you, single folk, you are created in the image and likeness of God. And that means you have value, you have dignity, you have worth. The God, the Creator's imprint is on your soul. That matters, and that means something. Again, you're not second class. You're not invisible. You are created in the image and likeness of God, and you can't forget that. Genesis 1:26, you are created in the image and likeness of God. Another aspect of exploring yourself has this idea of freedom. What do I mean by freedom? Well, freedom is in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, which tends to be the big passage that a lot of people go to when they talk about singleness. And yes, it's very robust and it's good for you to read. Paul says something very, very striking and very, very interesting in terms of this idea of freedom. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 25 through 28. Let me read it to you. It says, now, concerning the betrothed, I have no command from the Lord, but I give my judgment as one who by the Lord's mercy is trustworthy. I think that in view of the present distress, it is good for a person to remain as he is? Are you bound to a wife? Do not seek to be free. Are you free from a wife? Do not seek a wife. Verse 28, but if you do marry, you have not sinned. And if a betrothed woman marries, she has not sinned. Yet those who marry will have worldly troubles, and I would spare you of that. This is a passage in 1 Corinthians 7 that Paul talks about. A lot to be said here regarding these verses, but one of the things is to understand that if you are single, you are free. You are free to either marry or to not marry. You are free to choose whether you want to be married or if you do not want to be married. Why do I say that? Because I feel like in our culture, singleness has, you know, kind of been put somewhat as a pedestal, right? You can advance in your career. You can do all these different things. Marriage has, in some cases, for some people, been redefined, and marriage is looked at as whatever, right? But in the church culture, we're going to be honest, marriage has also been put on a pedestal. Marriage has been seen as this thing that you have to achieve, and if you do not achieve it, then you are second class. It's interesting because as Paul wrote this in 1 Corinthians, they had this same idea about marriage as well. Marriage was a seen as a pedestal. It was the people saw it as a premium to life. Jewish people during this time, actually, if you was a Jewish male, it says that for a Jewish male, if you're not married, you're not a proper man. And for women, if you weren't married and didn't bear children, you were seen as less than. Marriage was this goal that everybody wanted to achieve in the city of Corinth. But also, I would argue that in church culture, that tends to be the case. Now, we would never say that, but functionally and practically, that's what tends to happen. And I want to say this, and married folks, you know, it is what it is. But I just want to say, marriage is not the point of life. Marriage is not the point of life. Marriage is great. A lot of benefits to it. Amen. But I just want to say it is not the point of life. It's not. And for single folk, I feel like we could do a better job to give them a full understanding of what marriage is and what the single life is without putting marriage as this ultimate goal that they have to reach. Again, they have freedom. And this would have shattered the people's minds as Paul wrote this back in this time. They would have been like, well, I have freedom to choose whether I want to be single or not, right? So marriage is not the point of life. Jesus is. But also the aspect of exploring yourself also entails this idea of, and maybe some of you here, to discover if you do have this gift of singleness. It is a gift. Some of you may have it. I know some of you are praying that the Lord does not give that to you. I hear you, bro. I hear you, sis. But it is a gift. Just like preaching is a gift and teaching is a gift and all the list of spiritual gifts that's listed in 1 Corinthians, it is a gift. What does this gift entail? One author says it this way, the gift of singleness, that is a spirit-enabled freedom to serve the king and the kingdom wholeheartedly without undue distraction for the longings of sexual intimacy, marriage, and family. Some of you may have that. Some of you may not. Explore yourself. How do you explore yourself to see if you have this gift? Well, pray. Meditate. Talk with trusted people. Talk with your trusted friends and family. Pray to the Lord and Have him, ask him to reveal it to you. Fast about it. These are some practical things that you can actually do to maybe see if this does fit you. Explore yourself. Another aspect of exploring yourself also means that it's important for you to understand who you are, your skills, your talents, your personality, your responsibilities, your temperament. If you're single, most of us have a lot of time to develop, like, what type of person am I? What type of person, what things do I like? What things do I love? What lights me up? What makes me sad? What depresses me? Right? You have time to be able to discover and explore yourself in such a way that whenever you do get into a relationship, if that is the path that the Lord has for you, you can bring something to the table. And you can actually know yourself better. I would also add, too, another aspect of exploring yourself is you need to explore your baggage. You need to explore your baggage. What do I mean by baggage? We all have baggage, amen? We all have things that we bring into relationships with people and relationships with others. You need to explore that baggage. Maybe it's the trauma that has happened to you in the past that you suppress and act like it didn't happen. Or maybe it's the traumatic things that you have done to other people and you feel guilt and feel shame about those things. You need to explore yourself. And maybe you realize that, man, I need help. I need healing. Most people get into relationships because they think the other person is going to be able to make them whole and to fix them. If you explore yourself and see that your baggage, and maybe there's some surgical work that you need to do before you get into a relationship, maybe that is also something that you should do as well. Not maybe, you should. Explore yourself, explore your baggage. The childhood hurt issues that you have. The molestation that took place. The abusiveness that you saw your dad or mom do. The drug addictions, whatever it is. You know what it is. I don't need to know necessarily. You know what it is. God knows what it is. That baggage. This is time to explore yourself. Jesus and therapy. Amen? Maybe you need to be healed. And let me say this too. Hearing a bunch of teachings and hearing a bunch of sermons on healing doesn't mean you're automatically healed. There's work that needs to be done. Surgical work. Maybe you need to talk to somebody. Maybe a professional, counselor. These are aspects of exploring yourself as what I'm talking about and what I mean. I'll tell you this, you do all these types of things before you get in a relationship. By God's grace, I'm willing to bet you'll be better off in that relationship. Explore and know yourself. Allow the Lord to uniquely shape you in this season of life for you. Don't waste this time. Don't waste this season. What is another aspect of exploring yourself and discovering yourself? Well, ultimately, 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 5. Very, very clear. Paul writes, examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. In the original language, it literally reads yourself or oneself examine. And it does that for emphasis. Paul wants people to really, really, really examine themselves to actually see if they are followers of Jesus. Examine yourself in such a way that you can say, I belong to God. I'm in his family. I've been adopted. I've been made new. I've been created new. I've been regenerated by the power of the Holy Spirit. I genuinely want to follow him. I genuinely want to obey his commandments. Single folk, Examine yourself to see if you are in the faith. Do you believe and trust in the gospel? The death, burial, and resurrection of Messiah Jesus. Do you really believe? This is also an aspect of exploring yourself. So if you're here this morning and you're single, maybe you have examined to see if you are in the faith. Maybe you have obeyed Jesus. Maybe you haven't. My encouragement to you is to trust in Jesus, to believe in him, and believe in him for salvation. Remember the context of John Calvin's quote, without knowledge of self, there is no knowledge of God, right? You have to know yourself so that you can know God. Amen. Part of exploring yourself means to examine yourself to see if you're in the faith. And you do that by believing in Jesus and genuinely following him. So I urge you this morning to do that. Also, part of the single life means to explore and live life. Explore and live life. Probably never heard a pastor tell you that before. Well, I'm going to break down what I mean by explore and live life, because I don't mean go out and be crazy, right? This is what I mean by explore and live life. 1 Corinthians 17, chapter 7, verse 17, Paul says, only let each person lead the life that the Lord has assigned to him and to which God has called him. This is my rule in all the churches. This idea of exploring and living life is however the Lord has called you, what purpose he has for you, how he has shaped and molded you and assigned you, you need to live that life. You need to walk the path that he has uniquely designed for you to walk in. Paul's general point here is simply that each one of you should live life no matter what situation that the Lord has placed you in, no matter what circumstances you have. How has the Lord called you? Maybe you need to discover that more as you are on this journey. Again, I said earlier, advantages and disadvantages that you will have, whether you're single or you're married, right? So I want to break down some of those advantages, and I want to pick on the single college student. I think a lot of times when we think about singles, we automatically in our mind think of single college students. I know I do, right? But the single college student, let's talk about an advantage that you may have. One, you have no or very low minimum time restrictions. You either have none or you have very minimum time restrictions and responsibilities. Now, I know for the college students in the room, you think that, you know, you think that you're really busy. I've been a college student before, and I want to tell you, in your world, you may think that you're busy, okay? But as you continue to grow and live life, the Lord, you know, let's say the Lord gives you a very demanding job. Let's say the Lord gives you a family, wife, kids, husband, whatever the case may be. You're going to look back and say, man, I wasted a lot of time. I promise you, you will, okay? You have no or very low minimum time restrictions and responsibilities. I want to say that that is an advantage, though. It's not a bad thing. That is an advantage. That's a good thing. Right? Some disadvantages is, you know, you may feel lonely from time to time. You may even feel depressed. You may even feel like you don't belong sometimes. And that doesn't just apply to single folks. That applies to everybody as well. But there's advantages and disadvantages. And I'm sure in your mind, you could probably think of many more advantages and disadvantages. What I want to do is to show you that for the single college student, listen, it's some good And it's not necessarily bad. It's just a season of life that you may be in. So what should you do? You should explore and live life. You should live it up as you can, because a lot of you have a lot of time on your hands. I would say to you, discover what the Lord has uniquely called you to do. Here's what that means. As you discover that, and you're on that path to doing that, that journey to doing that, try new things. The time that you have, try new things. Let's say you feel like you want to, you know, be a social worker, for instance, or you want to go volunteer at the Salvation Army, or whatever the case is, try new things. You may discover that you don't want to do that. You have time to have some trial and error, if you will. You have time to be able to indulge in and to discover things, discover more of your passion, your purpose. What do you want to do in life? Why do you want to do that? You have time to kind of develop and do that. I would also say to you, be a learner. Be open. Be open and learn new things. Be a traveler. You should travel. By the way, when I say travel, I don't mean just go on missionary trips. Do that. That's good too. But travel for leisure. Travel for rest. Travel to explore and know history. If you have the means and opportunities to go overseas, go do that. Or if it's here domestically, do that. Travel, build those memories, build those experiences. And I would argue that by you being able to be more informed, more cultured, understanding people groups and ethnicities, by God's grace, you would actually be a better proclaimer of the gospel, because you can be able to resonate and resonate with other people. That's different in you. One, you have... Most of us, most of you, have a lot of time to be able to do that. Explore and live life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 says, no matter what you do, whether you eat, whether you drink, do all to the glory of God. These are things that you can do to explore and live life. A lot more to be said about that. A lot more. But that's just a little bit of a taste of, as a single person, what you can do. What you can do. Now, some of you are here and say, oh, that sounds great. That sounds good. Oh, explore and live life. Yeah, that sounds good. But what if you're a single mom or a single dad that has multiple kids, crazy kids as well, or you're a widow, divorcee, you're single too. In your time, you may not have, you don't have the time that a normal college student will have, because you're out working two jobs, sometimes even three, trying to provide food for your children. And you may hear, Pastor John, explore and live life. This is my life. I remember when I was younger, because my mom was a single mom for a period of time. So I want to say to you that if that fits you, just know that I have some experience with that. I understand that it could be difficult. I understand it could be challenging and tiring. I totally understand to some level, as a kid, seeing my mom have to work 2-3 jobs, trying to provide for us, because for a period of time there was no man in the house. So I get it to a degree. I get it. And it's difficult and challenging. And you may be in this category of singleness, but this is what I would say to that. And I don't claim to have all the answers on this, but at bare minimum, what I will say is this. If you are in that category, exploring and living life may look a little different, but this is where I would argue that the body of Christ actually comes in. Galatians chapter 6, verse 2 says for us to bear one another's burdens. So this may look like for you to, as you build relationship, as you build trust with other brothers and sisters in Christ, the family of God, because we're not like a family, we are family, diverse family at that. This may look like for you to build trust with friends, with people here at this church, where we could be able to share the burden with you of single motherhood or single fatherhood. As you build trust, maybe you can be able to trust somebody to watch your crazy kids. Right? We are in this together. Again, exploring and living life may look different, but I still think it applies. And in order to do that, we're going to need each other to do that. I would also say, too, exploring yourself is a lifelong thing. Just because you're single, you don't just stop exploring yourself. I would say you continue to exploring yourself when you're married as well, if the Lord has that for you. But exploring yourself and exploring and living life, this still applies to the category of people that may not be single college students. So in order to do this, we're going to need each other. We're going to need the family of God to really be family to one another if you find yourself in that category. Living the single life comes in all sizes. And as we can see, those are two encouragements so far. Explore yourself, explore and live life. And the third one, the last one, explore and serve God and others. Explore and serve God and others. Psalm 102 says, serve Yahweh with gladness. Serve Yahweh with gladness. As a single person, you can serve God. That word for serve can also be translated as worship. So we can say our service is a worship to God. But this is time where you can be able to serve. Serving God with gladness can look in many different ways. Obviously here at Roosevelt, there are ways that you can serve. Some of the single people, you guys do that really well already. But it also can be outside of the walls of the church. One of our values at our church is to be called is city servants, community servants. We want to be serving in such a way that the community that we are sovereignly placed in on First Street and Roosevelt, it will feel the impact and the influence of believers being here. We want to have that disposition with us that we can be able to serve and do it with gladness. So as a single person, I want to encourage you, you can do that. This is what it means also to live the single life. Serve the Lord with gladness. I said a lot about knowing yourself, but also a part of the single life is knowing God, is exploring the depths of God, which is a daunting and really impossible task to really do. John 17:3. Eternal life is to know God. So as a single person, explore God in such a way that you get to really personally know him. Not just know facts about him. Not just know like a little bit about him, but to really genuinely be devoted to him. To know him in such a way when things are going right or going wrong, you know he is present. You know he is there. You know he walks with you. Really know God. And I want to encourage to know him deeply. Like so deep. I did something stupid one time. Well, a couple different times, but one of the things that I did, by the way, don't do this. I'm not encouraging anybody to do this. It's bad, it's dumb, it's stupid. I'm gonna tell you. So, I was on a jet ski. And raise your hand if you've been on a jet ski before. Oh. Okay. So, two black people, okay. All right. Got it. If you've ever been on a jet ski, you know that there's no brakes. So I'm doing this excursion. I'm on this jet ski, and I'm like, first, you're way out in the docks, first and foremost. So you got to take this little boat in order to like actually get there, and you're like already out there. So if you're afraid of water, it's already spooky, right? So we get out there, and as I was talking with the instructor, I was like, he was explaining to me what he does when he's on a jet ski. He's doing trips, he's doing flips, he's doing all these types of crazy stuff. And I'm like, oh, you can really do that? And he's like, yeah. He goes, in fact, what you can do is you can go full speed on a jet ski and then like jump off. And I was like, is that safe? And he's like, yeah, I do it all the time. And I was like, all right, okay. He's like, yeah, you should try it. So I was like, all right. So I get on the jet ski, and I'm like, you know, doing my thing. And I was like, hey, he said I could try it. So I go full speed. And soon I could feel like, I could hear like the waves kind of like going. And it was like this kind of like this big wave coming. So I'm on this jet ski, and as soon as I get the wave, I like jump off. And then I felt like time stopped for a little bit. And as I was coming down, in my mind, I was like, oh my gosh. And then all of a sudden, I hit the water. By the way, the water was really, really cold, freezing cold. Body went into like shock a little bit. But your body kind of, it adjusts to it pretty quickly. And then I realized like, and I have a life, I can swim, by the way, but I have a life thing on. And I realized like, I'm in the middle of the ocean. Why did I jump off this jet ski? This was dumb. And then in my mind, he told me before we jumped, he was like, oh yeah, you know, like the water, we're probably about 120, 130 feet deep. And then I'm like, oh man, so they're like water creatures in here and sharks. And so I'm like having a mini, like panicking a little bit. Then I'm realizing like, this wasn't a good idea. Then I start thinking about my life, my wife. What is she? It's funny too. I'm also thinking about that'd be kind of a on your obituary, a terrible way for like Ramon to do my eulogy, and then he said, "Oh yeah, he jumped off a jet ski and got bit by a shark." Like that would be terrible. I was like, I can't go out like that, Lord. But I say all that to say, 130 feet deep. That's pretty deep. Then I realized the deepest part of the ocean, I wasn't in the deepest part of the ocean, but the deepest part of the ocean is about 12,000 feet deep. Can you even fathom that? What I'm saying is this. We have to know God in such a way. We have to explore God in such a way that as deep as the ocean is, exploring God is even deeper than that. He's so vast. He's so majestic. He's so glorious. We will never be able to plumb, to understand and comprehend the depth of his goodness and his grace. We have a lifetime. We have eternity to explore God. So my encouragement is for you, for us, single folk and everybody, even if you're participating in online, to explore and serve God and others. So that's my encouragement as we think about living single, the single life. And remember what I said, my encouragements. Hopefully they've been encouraging, hopefully they've been inspiring to you, motivating to you to explore yourself, know who you are, your identity, your freedom that you have, to explore and live life. Psalm 24:1, this is God's world. Everything in the earth and thereof, this is God's world. And as his children, we get to explore his creation. We get to explore his world. And then explore God and serve God, but also others as well. So the church said, amen. Let us pray. Father God, we thank you for this day. We thank you for who you are. We thank you for knowing us and having us be able to know you. I pray for our single people, Lord, our single folks that are in the congregation that are really trying to figure life out. Maybe they want to continue to stay single. Maybe they're praying for a spouse or something like that. Lord, I want to pray over them. No matter what stage of life that they may be in, no matter what type of single person they may be, whether it's the college student, whether it's single mom, single dad, widows, divorcee, Lord. I just pray that as church family, as we live amongst one another, brothers and sisters in Christ, that we can be able to really be family and not intentionally or unintentionally exclude single people from our body, from our conversations, from our families. I pray that we can have more of a robust practice of inviting singles over our home if you're married, so they can see by God's grace what a healthy parenting looks like, what healthy marriage looks like, but also the ugliness of that as well. And if you're single and you have a home or an apartment or whatever, I pray that we can have a robust practice of you inviting married people over to your apartment just so they can see how you live. I pray that we can be in this together, Lord. So help us as we got a lot of work to do, but we know that your spirit enables us and give us this longing and this yearning to be able to do that. So we thank you, Lord. We praise you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.